Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Aaron Ford, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Wasteful Washington spending is killing us with inflation and sky-high prices on groceries and gas. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be squandered on a luxury resort in Florida, a New Jersey soccer stadium, a ski area in Iowa. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against reckless spending to stop inflation. Nevada families need cheaper gas and food, not frivolous luxuries in other states.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Aaron Ford. It is a pleasure to have you back here, sir.
Sam, great to be back.
So let's start out with the announcement that came out just a couple of days ago with Republicans for Ford. There was some surprise among some people and not so much surprise from others. How did this come about, this endorsement?
Well, it was entirely organic. We heard from some Republicans in the community who recognized the importance of this race, who recognized the work that I have already done as Attorney General, and frankly, who recognized the danger of the individual running against me, were she to be the Attorney General of the state. And so, in good conscience, they reached out and organically formed a Republicans for Ford committee, and I'm delighted. You know, most folks know that Senate Majority and Minority Leader Michael Roberson and I had our fair share of disputes and debates
in the legislature.
Heated, but we both generally had the best interests of the state in mind, and I think he recognizes that as an example, and that's why he's one of the headliners on this list.
Some people were shocked that Amy Tarkanian was there.
Well, she likewise, I think. Her comment is that she recognizes the work that we have done to improve public safety by improving relationships between law enforcement and the communities that we serve. She also recognizes, again, the danger of an unprepared individual who is running against me for this particular seat. And, you know, she, to her credit, has reached out likewise and corresponded around becoming a part of this Republicans for Ford group.
I'm going to mention her name. Sigal Chadha is the person who's running against you. She's been on this program several times, debated Tisha Black on the program as well. Have you been surprised at some of the comments that she has made from somebody who is running for such a high office?
The short answer is yes. Listen, she wants to see me hanging from a crane, and I'm sure you will beep that out. But that's her quote. She doesn't respect my dignity as a human, nor my humanity. And I don't believe I owe her, therefore, any time of day at the end of the day. What I am doing is running for the office of Attorney General, for the people of the state of Nevada. She's running against me. to be sure. But I'm running for the office, and we will continue to work toward justice as we have been doing this last 3 years and 7 months that I've been in office, and I look forward to doing that for the next 4 years.
Well, I appreciate your frankness. I don't think I would have gone as far as you did, but you said 100% what she has been quoted as saying. She has defended the remark by saying that, where she comes from in Israel, that this is a common remark because it's the way that Arab nations have and terrorist organizations have dealt with people that they are opposed to, and in some cases criminals. And do you believe that she is inherently racist by her comments, or do you believe that she is just making comments without realizing that diplomacy matters in elections?
I'm not going to spend much more time on this.
No, and that's fine.
Except to say, where I'm from, threatening to lynch someone, especially a black person, mm-hmm. is racist. And at the end of the day, again, she doesn't respect my humanity or my dignity, and she doesn't deserve to be the Attorney General for the great state of Nevada, which is, again, the reason why Republicans for Ford have galvanized around me and will continue to support me. But it's not just Republicans, obviously. Democrats recognize this. Independents recognize this, and we will prevail, and we will continue to be the individual who is pursuing justice on behalf of the entirety of our state.
Will you be willing to debate her before this election?
I'm not standing in the room with her, Sam. She doesn't respect my dignity and my humanity and wants to see me hanging from a crane. I will not endeavor to have a conversation with her, and I certainly will not be debating her.
All right, fair enough. Let's change topics to the opioid settlement. And congratulations, it was what, $300 million?
$330.
Yes, Phil Ruffin also, when you say he made $1.2 billion from selling the New Frontier, he always wants you to add in the change there. $330 million. Have you thought about the potential for any legacy project? You know, when Kenny Guinn got the tobacco settlement, he turned that into scholarships for students to go to college. Have you thought about doing something like that with that money?
Well, it's not for me to decide. But I can tell you that the decision makers, which will be the legislature, and to her credit, Senator Julia Ratty, before she finished last session, she passed the bill that created the Committee for a Resilient Nevada, which will determine how these monies are spent. The Attorney General's, my office, we bring home these funds and we turn it over to the state. It's not going to the general fund, though. It's not going to projects like scholarships. It has to go toward abating the opioid crisis in whatever way it's manifested, whether it be in the foster care system, whether it be in social services, whether it be in mental health services, whether it be in addiction services. It's going to be the Committee for Resilient Nevada that makes a determination on how those monies are going to be spent, and they're going to base it on the needs assessment that they are creating. I think that needs assessment comes out this month, maybe at the end of next month.
Just on the talking about foster care, it was interesting, former State Senator Patricia Farley was on the program and talking about the number of kids that are not included in the state's budget for foster care. Are you aware of that, and are you trying to do something about the number of kids who need foster care but are not being compensated by the state?
Well, I think that at the end of the day, the legislature is going to have to engage in this conversation. Senator Farley has always had this as an interest of hers. She's a foster parent herself. She and I are very good friends, and I understand that this is a passion for her. And so, I commend her for mentioning this, and I also commend to her conversations with the legislature for ways to redress the issue.
And would you be supportive of that?
Supportive of assisting the foster care children?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want you to give you the opportunity, because it's going to come up in the campaign. Your former law firm was involved and got that opioid settlement. Would you explain how you're not involved and how you are not getting compensated for that money? Because that's what's floating out there, and you know it.
Yeah, well, listen, the person running against me for this seat and her supporter, they certainly are touting this conspiracy theory that I had something to do with the selection process. I had nothing to do with the election process by design, intentionally, because I wanted to avoid this exact concern. I recused myself from the outset when the selection process went underway to determine who was going to receive the contract to help us with outside counsel resources for this. Our office, there's no way our office could have handled this. There are terabytes of data that we've had to analyze, hundreds of paralegals we've had to hire, and we've hired those by virtue of obtaining outside counsel. But that outside counsel was secured and vetted through a committee independent of me, seven, 9 members on it or so. They vetted every application that came through. They ranked them, and at the end of the day, they awarded the firm of Eglett Prince, I think it's Eglett Adams now, the contract. But I had nothing to do with it at all.
And you do not gain financially
absolutely
from this in
not.
Any way.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I was recused from opioid work when I was at that office, right? Because they were at that time having conversations with, as I understood it, with the previous attorney general around doing work for the state. So, I understood, that again, the individual running against me and her sole editorial supporter have been trying to tie some level of conspiracy to this, but there is none. When I recused myself, I was completely recused. My Bureau of Consumer Protection is the entity that ran this process, and they ran it all by themselves. And I didn't know until everyone else knew who the winner of the contract was.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada after this timeout.
Wasteful Washington spending is killing us with inflation and sky-high prices on groceries and gas. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be squandered on a luxury resort in Florida, a New Jersey soccer stadium, a ski area in Iowa. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against reckless spending to stop inflation. Nevada families need cheaper gas and food, not frivolous luxuries in other states.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. One of the things I love about the Carson Valley Inn here in beautiful downtown Mendham is CB Steak. I have eaten here so many times. Tell folks what they can expect when they come here to eat.
It's a beautiful room, great service. We have certified Angus beef, seafood, lamb, a great range of appetizers, and wonderful desserts. Jean-Michel's done a great job of selecting some beautiful wines for us. The customers love it, and we've got a great selection of cocktails as well. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
For Nevada women and families, it's no joke. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, taking away a woman's right to an abortion. But Adam Laxalt calls that right a joke. Listen.
Roe v. Wade was always a joke.
Roe v. Wade was always a joke. No wonder, as Attorney General, Laxalt made it a priority to push abortion bans that let the politicians overrule women and their doctors. It's not a joke. It's our right. Women Vote is responsible for the content of this ad.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Aaron Ford. Roe versus Wade. This seems to have invigorated Democrats where, there was talk for a long time prior to that decision that we were going to see a Republican sweep in the state. What has been your response to that decision, and how have you seen it affect your campaign?
Well, first off, it's not just Democrats that have had a response to this. It's been independents, it's been Republicans. It's been, in this state in particular, a state that is predominantly pro-choice. Everyone is up in arms around this. Now, to be sure, there are still those who disagree, and reasonable minds can disagree. But in this state, we have already indicated that we will protect the right to pursue an abortion up to 24 weeks in statute. Not in the Constitution, by the way. It's in statute.
Yes, and I actually was the one that pointed that out on the show.
So it's in statute up to 24 weeks. And I do believe that while we are safe in that regard, people should not be complacent. Because here's what we know, that there are individuals who will work to whittle around the edges of that particular right to put up barriers or whatever the restrictions may be that that they're contemplating. There may be even a nationwide ban that's being sought, right? And so Nevadans are up in arms around this as a general matter, and they are very interested in ensuring that whoever is defending constitutional rights in the state of Nevada, i.e. the Attorney General, is going to also defend that particular right, and that would be me. You know, as we know, the individual who's running against me for this seat has indicated that she would use, you know, penalty enhancements against women who are seeking abortions. You know, she can explain to others how she intends to do that, but the point is, she's unfriendly to this notion of pro-choice that we have in this state, and we need to be concerned about that. And I think the voters see through that, and they recognize where their support is in that regard, in relative to protecting that particular right, and that would be Aaron Ford.
In a recent interview, a guest who's an attorney said that because the Supreme Court ruled that Roe versus Wade was unconstitutional, that the federal government could not pass, even under a Republican-controlled House and Senate, could not pass a federal ban on abortion. Because of this recent Supreme Court ruling. Does that make sense to you?
Well, there's a legal analysis that obviously would have to be undertaken for any effort that's taking place at the federal level. We're going to have to do an analysis as to whether it even has the effect of preempting our state statutes. It may be unconstitutional. You know, that's a preliminary decision. That's a premature decision to be made at this point. But make no mistake about it, it's not going to stop individuals from pursuing it. And it's certainly not going to stop them if they are able to obtain control from passing it.
Let's talk about projects from your current term that you would like to continue if you're fortunate enough to get a second term.
Yeah. Well, listen, on day two on the job, I introduced myself to my 400 new coworkers, explaining to them that we had one job in this office, and that job is simple. Simple to say. It's difficult oftentimes in implementation, and that job is justice. We pursue justice for all. And it doesn't always manifest itself in ways that people think. And so at the end of the day, what we intend to do, what we have been doing, is pursuing justice in the constitutional protections arena. You know, I've heard some comments from naysayers around COVID restrictions, for example, and what we had to do was to carefully analyze the Constitution as it related to those. And by and large, we were on the right side. And that's important to note, that we are pursuing justice in the constitutional realm. We're pursuing justice in the criminal justice context, where we were able to get two bills unanimously passed, that touch on criminal justice and reform, that improve relationships between law enforcement and the communities that we serve. And we pursue justice in the consumer protection arena. We talk about opioids, for example, but there's also $100 million of settlements that we have outside of opioids that we brought in as well through the pursuing justice on the consumer protection side of things. So we will continue to do that in the next 4 years that we have. And we are proud of that. Our mantra, if you were to ask anybody in my office what our job is, I can almost guarantee you they're going to say, and if there are several of them that would say in unison, our job is justice.
Did the governor hold on to the state of emergency too long, in your opinion?
I think the governor was well within his rights to be able to do what he needed to do to protect the health and safety of this state. Here's what people need to remember. Think back to when you were going to Smith's and you couldn't find toilet tissue. Or when you found it, it was very expensive. You couldn't find hand sanitizer. Think about this. People were dying. Neighbors were dying. Family members were dying. Friends were dying. You didn't know if it was going to be you who contracted the disease and died. And so at the end of the day, it was incumbent upon this governor to protect the health and safety of this state by virtue of an attorney general who would analyze the issues and advise as to whether or not what we're doing is crosses the line. And again, we work very hard to be certain that we stayed on the right side of the Constitution, which is evidenced by the fact that the courts agreed with us 99% of the time on these restrictions. And so, do we wish we could have, stopped it earlier? I'm sure. Right. Listen, I didn't get to go to church. I've been paying tithes since I was 20 years old.
Right.
Right. My pastor died in March of in May of COVID. I didn't get to see him before we went back to church. So it wasn't my desire to have to defend those forms of restrictions, but they were necessary at that time, in our estimation, to protect the health and safety of the people in this state. And so I commend the governor for a job well done in that regard.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back more with the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada after this timeout.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years.
Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at NevadaHeating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Nevada Attorney General, Aaron Ford. I wanted to ask you about voter ID. This is something that comes up constantly in discussion on this program and connected to election integrity. You can't do anything without ID. You can't cash a check. You can't get on an airplane. There are so many things that you can't do. And yet one of the things we hold most dear, which is our ability to vote, doesn't require ID. What are your thoughts on voter ID? And if you want to bring up the issue that people don't have voter ID, I personally would be happy to pay increased taxes to make sure that everybody who wanted an ID could get an ID for free if they couldn't afford it.
Listen, at first blush, what you say makes sense. You need an ID to get on an airplane, but there's a test. It's a constitutional test. When you're going to do anything that impacts a constitutional right, there's a constitutional test associated with it. That constitutional test doesn't attach to getting on an airplane. It does attach to voting, however. And the question is somewhat simple. Is there a compelling reason for doing so? And is this a narrowly tailored way of getting there? And you have to demonstrate that. And so you ask, what's the compelling reason for the voter ID? And the response is voter fraud. So then you say, demonstrate the voter fraud that you're talking about. And three judge panels across the nation have been unpersuaded that there is a significant level of voter fraud that that authorizes the imposition of a brand new restriction or requirement before you exercise the right to vote. And so then you have to ask, what's the real rationale? If voter fraud can't be the rationale that persuades judges across the nation that voter ID is significant, is appropriate, then what's the real rationale? And when you look at who is impacted by laws like voter ID, veterans, students, minority members, older individuals, then you have to ask, was that the intended target in the first instance? Especially when many of those individuals tend to vote one particular party over another. And so that analysis is an important one to undertake. I do not support voter ID because I have not been persuaded that there's a significant amount of voter fraud that would justify imposing a brand new restriction particular right.
But here's the other side of the coin. And by the way, I'm fine with the way that things are set up now, but it is just a constant discussion point, and has been for many years now, about voter ID. Do you have concerns that people are going to lose faith that their vote counts if we don't have something tied to election integrity that is stronger than what we have in place now?
Listen, I'm concerned.
And by the way, that's going to affect both sides. It's not going to affect just one, which I think certain people forget sometimes.
Listen, I'm concerned about people losing faith in our election system right now because of what we saw happen 2 years ago. Liars, big liars, talking about widespread voter fraud, that they would not present to my office for consideration. They would get on TV and hold up an affidavit, but they wouldn't present the affidavit to my office because they knew that my office would have to call the person on the affidavit and actually get facts.
So nobody came to your office?
They did not. And one of the individuals running for one of the higher offices in this state, my predecessor, in fact, never presented a complaint to my office, even though he complained about it on television all the time. And the point I'm raising here is this. That is what undermines the integrity of our elections. Not so much this notion of voter ID, but people who are in high positions of power, who have influence, who are big liars. And that's a problem. We should address that, and they should not be given any countenance in this state at all.
One last question, and it refers back to what you were talking about, criminal justice reform. We had Chris Hicks, the Washoe County DA on not too long ago, and he was saying that his problem with the criminal justice reform that passed in the last session was that there wasn't money accompanying it, and that his department and other sheriff's departments did not have, or DA's departments rather, did not have the money to fulfill this obligation. Are you willing to see more money being raised towards DA's offices across the state to help with?
Of course. Now, let's be clear. He's not talking about my bills. My bills didn't require his office to do anything.
These were Steve Yeager's bills.
But to answer your question, yes. I mean, I was in the legislature. I understand what an unfunded mandate is and the need to try to fund mandates that we put out. So, yeah, I would be in favor of trying to provide resources to the district attorneys who are charged with implementing criminal justice reform, certainly.
I appreciate you being here. Sadly, we are out of time, but please come back soon. Please come back before the election. Certainly, if you're not going to debate, I would be great to be able to have more conversations with you so the public knows where you stand on a host of issues. And I got four more pages.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure to have you on, sir.
Happy to be here.
And we'll be right back.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologist and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also check our archive going back to 2005 on our website, again, NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.